All right, let's just jump right in. I want you to picture something for me, an endless cosmic ocean. But this isn't an ocean of water, it's an ocean of pure potential, of pure cause. And this is exactly where our story begins. So today, we're gonna explore the philosophy of Vishnu, but we're going way beyond the basics. We're gonna travel from the idea of Vishnu as this preserver god that you might already know, all the way to this mind-blowing concept of a cosmic ocean that literally breathes universes into being. Yeah, it's a journey from mythology straight into deep metaphysics. So let's start at the highest possible level. I mean, the most grand, awe-inspiring vision of reality this philosophy has to offer. For just a second, forget about our single universe. I need you to think much, much bigger. This is Mahavishnu, and the scale we're talking about here is just staggering. In this cosmology, this isn't just a god. This is the source of every single universe. I mean, get this. They say that countless universes literally pop into existence from the pores of his skin every time he breathes out, and they all get drawn back in when he breathes in. It's like a cosmic multiverse generator. Just incredible. All right, so that's the biggest possible picture, right? The macrocosmic view. But you might be asking, how does this unimaginably huge being connect to, well, us, to our world? So let's zoom in a bit and talk about the role most of us are familiar with, Vishnu, the great preserver. So in the classic Hindu trinity, the Trimurti, you've got this beautiful cosmic division of labor. You have Brahma, the creator. You have Shiva, the transformer, or what we often call the destroyer. And right in the middle, you have Vishnu. His job, preservation. He's the one who maintains cosmic order, balance, and clarity. His whole vibe is sattva, that quality of harmony, goodness, and stability. He is literally the force that stops everything from just falling apart into chaos. Okay, so how does he actually do that? How does he preserve order? Well, the answer is through avatars. The word itself just means descent. So think of it this way. Whenever the cosmic order, or dharma, starts to break down, when things get chaotic and unbalanced, a version of Vishnu shows up here on Earth to fix it. It's basically a divine intervention, a direct move to bring things back into balance. And these aren't just random appearances. These descents come in all sorts of forms, and each one is perfectly suited to whatever crisis is happening. You've got Matsya, the fish, who saves humanity's wisdom from a massive flood. You've got Rama, the perfect, ideal king. You have the fierce man-lion, Narasimha, who shows up to protect a single devoted follower. And there's even Kalki, who's said to be the future restorer, someone who hasn't even arrived yet. Each one is like a precision tool for a specific cosmic job. I love this quote because it just nails the concept in a way we can all get. Avatars are like feedback control. It's basically a thermostat for the universe's morality. When moral entropy, you know, the slide towards chaos and disorder, gets too high, an avatar shows up to correct it. It's not just sitting back and hoping for the best. It's an active, hands-on system for keeping everything in balance. So we're talking about this ongoing preservation, but it's crucial to understand this isn't happening on our tiny human timescale, not even close. To really get the sheer scope of this, you have to ask a different kind of question. What exactly is a cosmic day? Get ready for this. The answer is 4.32 billion years. That's a single cosmic day, what's known as a kalpa. It's just one day in the life of the creator god Brahma. That's the timescale we're operating on here. And what's wild is how that number isn't too far off from what modern science tells us is the age of our own planet, right? Okay, so with that sense of deep, deep time in our heads, let's go back to that cosmic ocean we started with. It's time to really dive in and unpack that idea, because it's not just one big thing. Turns out, this reality is stacked. It has layers. So here's the key idea. It's a three-tiered system. At the very top, you've got Mahavishnu, remember him, the one breathing out all the multiverses. Okay, that's level one. Then, inside each of those bubble universes, you have a second form, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Think of him as the master architect for that one specific cosmos. And then we zoom in even further. Level three is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. This is the version that's inside everything. He's the witness in every single atom and in the heart of every living being. You might know this concept as the Paramatman, the supreme soul. Now, this is so important, so listen close. These are not three different gods. It's not a committee. They are three different modes or views of one single divine reality. It's just looking at it from different zoom levels, the cosmic, the universal, and the deeply personal and intimate. Same reality, different scales. And this whole framework, this idea of a layered reality, it's more than just a cool creation story. It's actually a seriously deep philosophical model. And different schools of Indian philosophy have taken this model and used it in really different ways to tackle that one ultimate question. What is the nature of reality? So just look at how this plays out. You have a school like Advaita Vedanta, which says that ultimately reality is just one, impersonal, unified thing. And our world? It's kind of an appearance, a projection on that oneness. Then you have Vishishta Dvaita. They say, no, God is personal, and the world is totally real. In fact, the world is like God's body. And then you have Dvaita, which argues for duality, that God, individual souls, and matter are all fundamentally separate and real things, forever. See? They're all wrestling with the same questions, but using this framework to come to very different conclusions. So what's the big takeaway here? This whole layered idea of Vishnu, it becomes this brilliant tool, this metaphysical bridge. It's what allows these philosophies to connect that super abstract, ultimate reality, the absolute, with the world we actually live in and experience every day. It's the answer to the classic problem. How can the all-one also appear as the many? All right, so this is all ancient philosophy, right? But how does it connect to us today? Well, what's truly mind-boggling is how some of these very old ideas seem to, well, rhyme with some of the biggest, most cutting-edge questions that modern science and philosophy are asking right now. And let me be clear, we're not talking about direct equivalence. These are resonances, fascinating parallels. For example, the Puranic timescales are in the billions of years, which is exactly the scale modern cosmology works with. The whole idea of Mahavishnu breathing out universes, it's hard not to hear an echo of modern multiverse theories in that. And the stacked Vishnus, those different levels of description, that feels a lot like how science uses different sets of rules, cosmology for the big stuff, quantum mechanics for the tiny stuff, to describe the same reality. There's actually a philosophical term for this kind of view. It's called panentheism. The idea is that the divine is in every part of the universe, but also extends beyond the universe. And that fits this model perfectly, right? Mahavishnu is beyond all universes, while Shirodekashayi Vishnu is inside every atom. It's both bigger than everything and inside everything at the same time.
And you know, after all that mind-bending cosmology, this is where it all lands. This is the real point. The big takeaway from all this isn't just about cosmic oceans and multiverses. It's deeply personal. It's ethical. In this worldview, to worship Vishnu isn't just about a ritual in a temple. It's a call to action. It means aligning your life, your choices, your actions with the principle of preservation. It means becoming a force for order, for truth, for compassion, and for stability in your own corner of the universe.
So there you have it. We've gone from the edge of the multiverse all the way down to the witness inside our own hearts. And what are we left with? A question, a big one. It's not just a question for ancient texts or philosophers in a bygone era. It's a question for every single one of us right here, right now. In a world that often feels like it's spinning into chaos, how do we align with what preserves and sustains? What does it actually mean to be a force that upholds and supports life? That, I think, is the challenge this incredible philosophy leaves for us to figure out.